Yep. Maybe. Yeah, probably so. Yeah. You can use mine if you want. Mine's hooked up in right there. So this morning, we haven't... So first, let's clarify a couple things. Did we talk before? While you... Well, yeah. I called to see where you...
Yes.
I'm going to have to throw you under the Jesus bus a minute just to clarify some stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Because I usually... We usually don't talk before you come, right?
Right. Yeah.
You didn't tell me anything that you were planning to say or talk about
this
morning.
No, you had no idea. Because I was late. Because I was late. That's what she's trying to say.
Thank you, Lord. That's a better way to do it. Okay. I'm that one, y'all. I am that one. But the Lord loves me anyway. You can't do nothing about it. Anyway. Quit it. Okay, so this morning, as I was coming in, I was literally right up the road. And the Lord said, I want you to go get 2 cans of Sprite. And I said, okay, Lord. So I turned, and instead of coming here, I went and got me 2 cans of Sprite. And they're cold.
She did get them this morning. They're cold.
Yeah. Thank you for verifying that. I love you. And this one will say represents God, the Spirit of God.
It blows up.
Right. I would be in so much trouble.
Which one are you starting on?
Okay, so all God asked us to do when he created us and we come to him and he fills us with his Holy Spirit. A seasoned Christian. Someone who's been walking with the Lord a very long time is so full. And this cup represents someone who maybe, accepted Christ, but kind of wasn't sure. It's iffy, man. Yeah, it's iffy, man. Okay, not real sure, doubts. This and that. And then this empty cup represents someone just has no clue. An unbeliever. As a seasoned, filled Christ follower, it is your responsibility to pour into those who are lacking or need encouragement, and then go back to the Father to get refilled. He's not going to leave you empty. Never. Ever. And I can tell you this from my experience. He has never left me empty. Never. When I pour out to other people, even though I'm not like 10 years in, he doesn't leave me empty. And all I do is I share with other people the love and compassion that he has shown me throughout my life. I don't just keep it to myself and sip it when I want it. I give it. I'm filled and I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it hurts my heart it really hurts my heart to know that there's still people that don't believe in Jesus and God because they're empty and open. And there's some empty and open just waiting for someone to pour into them. Waiting and hoping for something more. And if we as people of God don't go out and do what we're supposed to do, we're going to be held accountable when we get home. Those people that we come across that are empty and open, wanting and waiting for something better, or the ones that just simply reject. Life is going to crush them. Situations and circumstances is going to crush them. We have to get them there, y'all. We have to help them get there. There's no doubt Jesus is coming back for his bride. All of his brides. He doesn't want one left out. He doesn't want to reject even one. We have to do our part and get them there. Filled and sealed.
That's good. I've never seen it quite. I mean, I've heard it explained, but that's cool. A very good visual. See that. I thought for a moment we were going to have the Lord's Supper here in a second. I kept helping, but it wasn't happening. And Tina's over there laughing because I kept trying to help. So
she knew what was coming.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And this is a little, the Lord showed me this a while back, and I've now done this illustration. This is the third time on the cans, the third time.
I can tell because she knew exactly where to go. Yeah. She went straight down. She came back up. She'd done this.
And this is what's so beautiful to me. Every time he reminds me of this illustration with the cans or has me do it, ask me to do it. And yes, sir. It goes a little deeper, just a little deeper. Each time, for me personally, it's been a little deeper. So it's not just for y'all out there. It's for me too. Every time he brings this up and has me do it, he takes me a little deeper. And I don't want to walk alone. So I share it so that we can walk together and get there. And get them there. Yep. Now, before we close, would you be so kind and share the location of the church and service times that you are the youth pastor at, please?
I can. I actually not quite done yet. Mind if I keep going?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
I'm sorry, I thought you were done.
I'm not. We ought as well be after that one. It's gonna be hard to come back from. Oh, I didn't know that's why you kept jumping in. I was like, okay. No, you're good. No, ma'am, you're good. Because not at all. That'll help transition right into the next part. Like where we've been talking about, you know, of the those that feel that are a part of the unprepared party. You know, we don't surrender to the gospel and be able to stay the same. We have that if you can, then you don't really understand the gospel, right? Jesus loves you enough to save you and also loves you enough to not allow you to stay the same. The scariest Bible verse to me is Matthew 7:21-23. It says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me," ooh, this is going to sound familiar to a parable we just read today, "'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do mighty works in your name?'" And then this is Jesus talking. Then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Sounds pretty familiar to that parable of when the unprepared came back, "Lord, Lord, let us in, it's us." He said, "I never knew you," because they didn't have a genuine relationship with the groom. And so here's my thing with, there are a lot of people that may have just tried to experience Jesus one time, but never really fully submitted to his authority and made him the Lord of their life. I think there's a lot of there's a lot of people that think they're Christian. They think they know the Lord, but actually don't. They've never actually surrendered to his authority. I think there are a lot of lip professors and not a lot of heart possessors, right? We have a lot of people that can talk it, say, "Hey, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I know Jesus." That's great that you know Jesus. The demons also know Jesus. You may know Jesus, but does he personally know you? Because you have a personal relationship with him because you've put your faith and trust in him. There's a lot of lip professors that can say all the right things, all the churchy things, but in their heart, Jesus doesn't sit on the throne of their life because he is not the possessor of their hearts. So I want to end with this question. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Christians, are you living comfortably in the security of your salvation? Or are you living ready for Jesus to return? Have you gotten lazy in your faith where you are just, hey, you were like the prepared, you're just resting, you're relaxing. Hey, I know there's other people around me. I know there's other things I could be doing, but hey, I know I'm good. Everyone else, good luck. Have we gotten so lazy in our faith and our lazy boy that we are not living ready for the return of Jesus? We're kind of like that wife at the beginning of the story that's just waiting but not actually watching and ready for it. Are we actually Christians living out the calling that's on our life, which is to share the gospel, to make disciples, but also to have a personal devotion to the things of the Lord? Because just like what Jesus said and has said multiple times, for we don't know the time, the day or the time for when he'll return. And I know I don't want to be caught slacking and lazy in my faith. I don't want to be like whenever my mom told me, "Hey, I'm going to be there in 15 minutes to pick you up. You better be ready." And I wait until I hear the tires rolling over the gravel and I'm like, "Oh gosh," and I'm scrambling because I'm unprepared. I think we have a lot of people that are going to be unprepared. For those that are here that are listening and tuning in at whatever point and you've never put your trust in Jesus, can I ask you this? What's holding you back from putting your faith in Jesus right now? If you can chew on that question and legitimately go, "Man, I understand that I'm a sinner. I understand that I'm lost. There's really nothing." Man, we've heard it this whole time that all are invited to the wedding. Everybody has been invited, but only those that are prepared will experience it. So will you be prepared today? Would you be willing to come and accept the wedding invitation to be a part of the wedding festivities for when the groom comes to return for his bride, the church? The prepared will be going to the wedding, to the celebration. There's going to come a day where Jesus will return for his followers, for the church. And so will you be prepared in that moment of surrendering your life to Jesus, going, "Jesus, I surrender. You are the Lord of lords, the King of kings. Lord, I believe and know that I'm a sinner and believe you're God's one and only Son who died for me. I truly believe that you rose from the grave." If you believe all of those things, all the scripture calls for you to do is to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's not a magical special prayer that you have to chant to say. You just have to say, "Lord Jesus, I understand. I am a broken mess. And I truly believe you are God's one and only Son who died for me and rose from the grave. Would you please come into my life and save me?" If you say something similar to that with a true heart, Understand it with the character of your heart is true, and not just saying it because somebody just led you through it, but you truly believe it. Scripture says that anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So won't you come today and put your faith and trust in Jesus? Let me illustrate it this one way, and I'll end on this story. There were a group of soldiers that were coming back from Iraq after serving over there for about 18 months. So a little tour. And so they, on their way back, these five brothers in arms, they had agreed that, hey, we're going to go back and we're not going to tell our families that we're coming back. We're going to surprise them, right? So we're not going to tell anybody. So all of them, five of them go separate ways. Eventually, one of the soldiers, Poole, coming into his neighborhood. He gets to his house, and as he gets to his front yard, there is those giant letters like staked in the lawn of his house that says, "Welcome home, Dad." He's like, "Oh man, somebody let it slip. One of my buddies made it home before me. The wife called all the other wives. I was like, oh my gosh, were you just a surprise? Blah, blah, blah." Anyway, the cat's out of the bag. Someone told them that I was coming home, right? And so he makes his way into the home, and there are decorations everywhere. There are red, white, and blue balloons everywhere, streamers, celebration. I mean, there are decorations all over the house, covering from ceiling to the floor. And no, he doesn't see anybody. No one's here, but there are decorations everywhere. He smells the most enticing aroma from the food that is being prepared and cooked in the backyard. So he knows, I'm going to make my way to the back. And so he eventually goes to the screen door, slides open the screen door, and he sees his children. He sees the most beautiful sight that he has seen in over 18 months, right? He sees his two babies playing in the backyard that run up and hug him. They're wearing their best little, his son's wearing his collared shirt, all buttoned up, hair fixed. His little girl has the most beautiful pink little dress on with the hair bow in. And then he sees his wife over there who comes to greet him. And she is wearing the most beautiful dress that he has ever seen her with, and has her makeup and her hair done exactly just right, the way that he loves it. And he goes up, I mean, just embracing them and hugs them. And he just asks her a simple question. He says, like, how in the world did you know that I was coming home today? Like, who let it know? How did you know? And her response was simple. It was this, that we didn't, but we stayed ready the minute you left. We were ready for the day for when you were coming home. We didn't know when you would come home, but we stayed ready. And so we as Christians, we need to live with that same mindset of, we must live with this intensity of, man, I'm not just waiting for Jesus to come get me. I am actively watching and waiting and living as I'm prepared, which means I've got to share my faith with others. I have got to help the unprepared to be prepared, that they are invited to the celebration of this wedding when the groom comes, but they have got to be prepared. There's going to come a day where Christ is going to return, and there's going to be many left knocking and being unaware of the salvation that is in no other name but Jesus. And we as Christians got to do our part, share the faith, teach others and disciple others, while also personally living a devoted life to him. And the unprepared, I so badly beg you and encourage you, come to Lord Jesus today. Put your faith in him today and be prepared for what Jesus is. And you may have obstacles in your way. Go, you know what, Jesus, once I get my life together, once I get clean, once I get sober, once I get all those stuff, once I get financial stuff out of the way, I'll come to Jesus. And you don't have to do any of that. You can come to Jesus just as broken as you are, and he'll build you up. He'll take you just as you are. And so put your faith in Jesus today by confessing your sins, confessing that you're a sinner. You believe that Jesus, God's one only son, who lived for you, died for you, and rose from the grave. And just say, Lord, would you please come into my life and save me? And you'll never be the same.
Okay. Amen. I apologize when I heard the Lord say, okay, now I just...
I gave you false. So I was like, because I kept seeing you, like you wanted to say something. So I wanted you to have the opportunity, and I didn't want you to think I was just like, quit. Like I didn't.
The process of receiving. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're good.
But when the Lord said, "Okay, now's good."
Yeah.
And
you're good.
For me, Monica, I just assumed, you know.
Well, yeah.
That's kind of God is sometimes assuring instead of being assured, you know, assuming instead of assuring.
Yeah.
So I apologize. I didn't mean to.
Don't you dare apologize. Okay. It was good.
Now, would you be kind enough to share the information about the church that you are youth pastor at?
Yes, I would love to. So I'm the youth pastor at First Baptist Church Cheyenne, obviously in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. We would love to have you with us. If you don't have a home church, or if you live close by and you want to try come by and experience and worship with us, we would love that. Every Sunday morning we do free breakfast every single Sunday from 9:45 to 9:50, right before Sunday school starts. So if you're hungry on Sunday, come and eat breakfast with us. It's free. It's always free. We never charge you. It's incredibly a great breakfast, and it's free, right? And there's plenty of coffee. So come and join us. Be a part of it. You can come eat for free. And then Sunday school, it's 9:50 to 10:45. And then if you just want to come experience morning worship with us, our morning worship in the sanctuary starts at 10:50. It goes until noon. And so we would love, it would be an honor to have you show up and be my guest there on a Sunday. And then if you have teenagers, our kids program is done for the summer, but the youth go all year long. And so if you have a teen that, you're tired of, that's like tired of being around the house and they need something to do on Wednesday, kick them out and like bring them to youth group at the church as well. In our family center, we do youth every single Wednesday from 5:30 to 7:00. And we always have a good time, great Bible study, great devotional, and great student leadership, put in place. And so we would love, and I'd be honored if you'd come and be a part of that and be my guest there.
Well, you brought a good word this morning. Hearing what you have to bring.
Yeah. Well, if anyone can benefit from the Lord dancing on my toes, that's a good win then.
You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again, the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my beautiful sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our brother in Christ, Pastor Jace Morrow, y'all have a good day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.